was the ointment? Why was the ointment wasted in this way? For this ointment could have been sold for more than 300 denarii and the money given to the poor. This was the complaint of some of those who were there, some of the disciples who had joined with Jesus in Simon's house for dinner. This was their complaint. John tells us that it was in a story that's very similar over in his gospel, a rare parallel between the four gospels, that it was Judas that made this complaint because he regularly liked to skim off the top and keep some of the money for himself. But the three gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, in today's reading especially, doesn't tell us which of the disciples said it. It simply said, why waste it in this lavish way when we could have sold it and taken the money and given it to the poor? Isn't that kind of like the church? I mean, we can think of good things to do with the money we get. We can think of all the poor we can feed, all the poor we can clothe, all the people we can help in our ministries and our missions, all the children that we can give clothing to and books to for back to school. We can think of all the good social ministries that we can do. And then when we get a nice large gift that's not designated one way or the other, we go crazy. We don't know what to do with it. We go, oh my goodness, I can't believe we got this money. What can we do? How can we spend it? Or should we just sort of tuck it away and hide it and pretend that we didn't get it? That's just like the church. We're afraid of lavish giving. We're afraid of truly lavish giving. And this was a lavish gift. If you could have sold it for 300 denarii, that means that it, now translating the value of money from 2,000 years ago to today is really hard. But they use the cost of bread. How many hours or minutes or seconds does it take to earn enough money to buy a loaf of bread? And then they use that to translate the value of money. And if you base it upon the value of a single denarius, which was a single silver coin, being the average daily wage of a worker, it turns out that a denarius is equal to about $25. $25 times 300 is about $7,500. So that's a big gift, isn't it? Here's another way to think about it. If a single denarius is a single day's wage, that means it's 300 days worth of work for your average, common, everyday laborer, perhaps someone like this woman or a member of her family. That's a lot of days of work, isn't it? That's a lot of money. That is indeed a lavish gift, and she brings this lavish gift to Jesus. And what is it? It's nard. What is nard? It is a kind of perfume, a kind of ointment. It's actually made from the spikenard plant. And they use it to make perfume. They use it to make incense for use in the temple. They use it for anointing oil. And they use it to make oil to prepare dead bodies for burial so that as they rot, they don't stink too terribly. In other words, it's used by rich people, because it's expensive. It's used in the holy of holy places in the temple of God in making incense, fire, and smoke to waft up to God in prayer. And it's used to prepare the dead for burial. And she takes it. And she takes it and she breaks it over Jesus' head. And it comes down on his hair and drips down all over his cloak and probably all over the floor, and it was a sticky, gooey, icky mess. How would you like to have to clean up after that? And if you happen to have a perfume allergy or hypersensitivity, don't get close to Jesus after this, friends. Whew. Whew. Strong odor Or as we like to say in the South, strong, oh dear. Oof. And not only that, but even the container was valuable. It was made out of alabaster. And she didn't just open it and pour it out over his head. She broke it open, destroying it in the process. Now, when I was a kid, I used to think that she broke it on his head. No, she didn't smash it on his head like you would a bottle over a ship. She broke it open over his head and let the nard pour out, seep out, sludgily out all over his head and down his shoulders. An icky, gooey, nasty mess. Over in John's gospel, we don't know the name of the person who did this, the woman who did this in the synoptics, but in John's gospel, it's Mary of Bethany. And it says that she anointed his feet with it and wiped or cleaned it with her hair. Rather evocative image, too. A lavish and evocative image of giving without regard for price. Giving from the very depths of one's soul. Giving without concern of how much it's going to cost you. I mean, there are people who talk about the tithe. And the tithe in the Old Testament was a way in which you identified what percentage of your holdings you would give and what percentage of your earnings you would give. So your holdings and your earnings. 10% was a tithe that went to God. That's cheaper than Uncle Sam, friends. Well, in the New Testament, in the Acts of the Apostles, they gave not 10%, not 20%, not 50%. They gave it all. Unless you were Ananias and Sapphira, and then when you lied about it, you got killed. I don't recommend doing that when it comes to stewardship time. Right, Charlie? So, my brothers and sisters, the tithe in the New Testament is actually a break. It's actually something to help you from giving too much. Because if you gave as you felt God calling you to give, you'd give it all. You'd give all of yourself. Every little last cent, every single denarius it is, you'd give it all. So the tithe becomes a break, a curb, something to limit the regular, everyday, continual giving. But that doesn't have anything to do with this alabaster gift. The alabaster gift, the gift of great lavishness, the gift of great love, was given by the woman because she adored Jesus. There's really no indication here. There's no reference as to her reasons for doing it, except that Jesus said, "She is preparing me for my burial." You're complaining about her spending this money this way. You're complaining about her wasting lavishly this wonderful gift on me when it could have been sold and the money given to the poor. The poor you will have with you forever. We still have them today, 2,000 years later. Yes, we should give to the relief of the poor. But my brothers and sisters, when we have Christ with us, as they had Christ with them in that day, and as we have Christ with us now, there comes a time when we must give lavishly to Jesus, lavishly to his ministry, lavishly to his gift ministers, lavishly to the wonderful, glorious good news that we have been given to proclaim. Yes, we're called to feed the poor. Yes, we're called to clothe the poor. Yes, we're called to give a glass of water in his name. And we are called on occasion, without concern for cost, to break our alabaster gift and allow it to pour out over Jesus. To break a special gift, a special offering, an offering of thanksgiving, an offering of praise, an offering of hope, an offering of joy, an offering that gives lavishly in return for that which we have received lavishly, which is God's glorious grace. Think about it. Jesus didn't give just 10% of himself. Jesus didn't give just 10% of his blood. Jesus didn't give just 10% of his grace. We don't get just 10% of God's mercy, God's love, God's presence. No, we get it all. We get all we need. Jesus didn't give just 10% of his blood on the cross. He gave it all. He gave it lavishly, without concern for price. He gave it lavishly, without fear. He gave it lavishly in love. And we're called to do the same. To make an alabaster gift, a lavish gift of love to God, for the wonderful, lavish grace that we have received. Look at the way in which the passage is closed. Notice what Jesus says at the very end of the account. Truly I tell you, wherever the good news is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in remembrance of her. I tell you, wherever the gospel, that's what good news means, wherever the gospel, wherever my message, wherever the story of my life, my death, my resurrection, my ministry, wherever the gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in remembrance of her. Wow. All four Gospels, in one way or another, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and even John, in one way or another, communicate this incredible, lavish gift in response to the lavish gift that Jesus would give us all. And we are called to do the same. In remembrance of her. When I saw that in remembrance in English, I said, aha, that sounds like a communion image, doesn't it? Do this in remembrance of me. This will be done and it'll be proclaimed in remembrance of her. Not quite the same. The word in Greek for remembrance here is really memorial. You'll remember this. You will memorialize this. We get the word mnemonic from the Greek word used here. Whereas at the Eucharist, it's anamnesis, to actually re-embody and reenact that which you are remembering, to bring present today that which we remember. And so at the table of the Lord, we bring present today the gifts of the grace of Jesus Christ in the Eucharist, in Holy Communion, in the Lord's Supper. What we are called to do is to give thanks and praise to God for the memory of what this glorious daughter of God did, what this beautiful woman did in taking a lavish gift in a lavish container and in a lavish way, pouring it over Christ Jesus. Wasting it? No. Giving it lovingly to her master. Amen. We are called to do the same. To remember her act, and then to follow her example, and in thanksgiving, give an alabaster gift to God. Oh, Greg, I can't afford 300 days worth of employment work. I can't afford 300 days worth of wages. I can't even afford $7,500 worth of wages. The cheaper version of this. I can't afford $750. I can't afford $75. The amount is irrelevant. It's the Spirit and the grace of God in the giving. Are you giving lavishly to God? This is beyond the tithe. This is in addition to the tithe. This is a gift of thanksgiving to Almighty God. I want to encourage us here as we move next week through Thanksgiving, and as we move to the end of this church year and on into the next, on into Advent and the next church year, I want to encourage us to be lavish givers to Jesus, to give a lavish offering, a lavish thanksgiving for the grace that we have received, for the lavish grace, the lavish mercy the lavish hope, the lavish faith that we have received. We're called to give lavishly to Christ our Lord. As we come into Advent, I want our Advent gift to be a gift of thanksgiving for the grace that we have received. That for some people will mean $75, $750, $7,500, $75,000. I don't know. That's between you and God. But I call us all to give an alabaster gift, a lavish gift of God's grace, so that the gospel may go forth and all might hear and know the wonderful, lavish love of God, which delivers us, transforms us, and brings us home. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of Northgate United Methodist Church and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2012 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal. All rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at Northgate United Methodist Church, 3700 West Northgate Drive, Irving, Texas, 75062. This program was produced by Dr. Gregory Neal.